and others soon came too, shaking his hand, congratulating him. He tried to make sense of this. Had he passed the test after all? It was his victory, not theirs, and a hollow one at that, a cheat. Why did they act as if he had won with honor? The crowd parted, and Mazur Rackham walked through. He came straight to Ender and held out his hand. "You made the hard choice, boy. All or nothing. End them or end us. But heaven knows there was no other way you could have done it. Congratulations. You beat them, and it's all over." All over. Beat them. Ender didn't understand. "I beat you." Mazur laughed, a loud laugh that filled the room. "Ender, you never played me. You never played a game since I became your enemy." Ender didn't get the joke. He had played a great many games, at a terrible cost to himself. He began to get angry. Mazur reached out and touched his shoulder. Ender shrugged him off. Mazur then grew serious and said, "Ender, for the past few months, you have been the battle commander of our fleets. This was the third invasion. There were no games. The battles were real, and the only enemy you fought was the buggers. You won every battle, and today you finally fought them at their home world, where the queen was, all the queens from all their colonies. They all were there, and you destroyed them completely. They'll never attack us again. You did it. You."
Real. Not a game. Ender's mind was too tired to cope with it all. They weren't just points of light in the air. They were real ships that he had fought with, and real ships he had destroyed, and a real world that he had blasted into oblivion. He walked through the crowd, dodging their congratulations, ignoring their hands, their words, their rejoicing. When he got to his own room, he stripped off his clothes, climbed into bed, and slept. Ender awoke when they shook him. It took a moment to recognize them, Graf and Rackham. He turned his back on them. "Let me sleep."
"Ender, we need to talk to you," said Graf. Ender rolled back to face them. "They've been playing out the videos on Earth all day, all night since the battle yesterday."
"Yesterday?"
He had slept through until the next day.
"You're a hero, Ender. They've seen what you did, you and the others. I don't think there's a government on Earth that hasn't voted you their highest medal."
"I killed them all, didn't I?" Ender asked.
"All who?" asked Graf.
"The buggers?"
"That was the idea."
Mazur leaned in close.
"That's what the war was for."
"All their queens. So I killed all their children, all of everything."
"They decided that when they attacked us. It wasn't your fault. It's what had to happen."
Ender grabbed Mazur's uniform and hung onto it, pulling him down so they were face to face.
"I didn't want to kill them all. I didn't want to kill anybody. I'm not a killer. You didn't want me, you bastards. You wanted Peter. But you made me do it. You tricked me into it." He was crying. He was out of control.
"Of course we tricked you into it. That's the whole point," said Graf. "It had to be a trick or you couldn't have done it. It's the bind we were in. We had to have a commander with so much empathy that he would think like the buggers, understand them, and anticipate them. So much compassion that he could win the love of his underlings and work with them like a perfect machine, as perfect as the buggers. But somebody with that much compassion could never be the killer we needed, could never go into battle willing to win at all costs. If you knew, you couldn't do it. If you were the kind of person who would do it even if you knew, you could never have understood the buggers well enough."
"And it had to be a child, Ender," said Mazur. "You were faster than me, better than me. I was too old and cautious. Any decent person who knows what warfare is can never go into battle with a whole heart. But you didn't know. We made sure you didn't know. You were reckless and brilliant and young. It's what you were born for."
We had pilots with our ships, didn't we?
Yes.
I was ordering pilots to go in and die, and I didn't even know it.
They knew it, Ender. And they went anyway. They knew what it was for.
You never asked me. You never told me the truth about anything.
You had to be a weapon, Ender, like a gun, like the little doctor, functioning perfectly but not knowing what you were aimed at. We aimed you. We're responsible. If there was something wrong, we did it.
Tell me later, Ender said. His eyes closed. Mazer Rackham shook him.
Don't go to sleep, Ender, he said. It's very important.
You're finished with me, Ender said. Now leave me alone.
That's why we're here, Mazer said. We're trying to tell you. They're not through with you, not at all. It's crazy down there.
They're going to start a war. Americans claiming the Warsaw Pact is about to attack, and the Russians are saying the same thing about the hegemon. The bugger war isn't 24 hours dead, and the world down there is back to fighting again as bad as ever. And all of them are worried about you. All of them want you. The greatest military leader in history, they want you to lead their armies. The Americans, the hegemon, everybody but the Warsaw Pact, and they want you dead.
Fine with me, said Ender.
We have to take you away from here. There are Russian marines all over Eros, and the Polomark is Russian. It could turn to bloodshed at any time. Ender turned his back on them again. This time they let him. He did not sleep, though. He listened to them.
I was afraid of this, Rackham. You pushed him too hard. Some of those lesser outposts could have waited until after. You could have given him some days to rest.
Are you doing it too, Graf? Trying to decide how I could have done it better?
You don't know what would have happened if I hadn't pushed. Nobody knows. I did it the way I did it, and it worked. Above all, it worked. Memorize that defense, Graf. You may have to use it, too.
Sorry. I can see what it's done to him. Colonel Leakey says there's a good chance he'll be permanently damaged, but I don't believe it. He's too strong. Winning meant a lot to him, and he won.
Don't tell me about strong. The kid's 11. Give him some rest, Rackham. Things haven't exploded yet. We can post a guard outside his door.
Or post a guard outside another door and pretend that it's his.
Whatever.
They went away. Ender slept again. Time passed without touching Ender except with glancing blows. Once he awoke for a few minutes with something pressing his hand, pushing downward on it with a dull, insistent pain. He reached over and touched it. It was a needle passing into a vein. He tried to pull it out, but it was taped on and he was too weak. Another time he awoke in darkness to hear people near him murmuring and cursing. His ears were ringing with the loud noise that had awakened him. He did not remember the noise. "Get the lights on," someone said. And another time he thought he heard someone crying softly near him. It might have been a single day. It might have been a week. From his dreams, it could have been months. He seemed to pass through lifetimes in his dreams, through the giant's drink again, past the wolf children, reliving the terrible deaths, the constant murders. He heard a voice whispering in the forest, "You had to kill the children to get to the end of the world." And he tried to answer, "I never wanted to kill anybody. Nobody ever asked me if I wanted to kill anybody." But the forest laughed at him. And when he leapt from the cliff at the end of the world, sometimes it was not clouds that caught him, but a fighter that carried him to a vantage point near the surface of the bugger's world, so he could watch over and over the eruption of death when Dr. Device set off a reaction on the planet's face. Then, closer and closer, until he could watch individual buggers explode, turn to light, then collapse into a pile of dirt before his eyes. And the queen, surrounded by infants, only the queen was mother, and the infants were Valentine and all the children he had known in battle school. One of them had Bonzo's face, and he lay there bleeding through the eyes and nose, saying, "You have no honor." And always the dream ended with a mirror, or a pool of water, or the metal surface of a ship, something that would reflect his face back to him. At first it was always Peter's face, with blood and the snake's tail coming from the mouth. After a while, though, it began to be his own face, old and sad, with eyes that grieved for a billion, billion murders. But they were his own eyes, and he was content to wear them.